That's the number one thing you have to do, is to work on yourself.
What if nothing's holy and everything's allowed?
Because the truth is, you are enough.
I now always go with the heart.
There has to be a better way.
Tell yourself true things about God, not about yourself. God's word has to be your filter, your lens through which you see your emotional responses.
There is a better way. And now your host of The Better Way, this is Libby Glosson.
Times, they are a-changin', and time's up on this one, y'all. Time to kick open a long closed door. Maybe you're afraid to talk about it. Maybe you think you're the only one dealing with this. Well, it's time to shine the light of God's word on something rarely talked about in our churches or in our women's Bible studies or even among our Christian friends. And that is the topic of women and pornography. Wait, I thought this was a problem for the dudes only, a men-only issue. That's not true, my friends. It's just not true. And some of you listening right now, you know this from experience. It's something you battle on a daily basis, but talk about it, not a chance. The guys, they can sometimes wear this almost like a brotherhood. Oh man, you struggle with pornography? Me too, brother. But for us women, it's a whole other ballgame. Right off, I want you to hear me. You are not alone in this. In fact, quite the opposite. If you've listened to Todd Friel over on Wretched Radio at all over the past few weeks, you've heard him talking about a thing that Fortis is doing called Play the Man. If you haven't, hop on over to the Fortis app and check it out. It's a concentrated effort to bring hope and help to the guys that are facing this huge sin issue. But as Todd's been talking about it, we've been getting a ton of emails and texts and messages from women who struggle too. And the consensus is, can we get a little help over here for the ladies? There's so much out there for the guys. The thing is, this is traditionally a lock and key issue for women. We don't talk about it, especially in the church context. And I get it. This might be a painful door for you, and you might be inclined to just leave it tightly shut. So if you're listening and this is your struggle, I want you to know that shame and secrecy, not God's will for you to be living in. But neither is brushing this off as no big deal, as marking it as some kind of sexual curiosity with no harm done. And it's definitely not what the culture tells us, that this is some healthy way of self-discovery. While God does call us into the light, not for condemnation, confrontation of our sin is actually a good thing. It's a good thing. More on that in just a minute, because I want to press in for just a second more on something. When we talk about pornography, we're not just talking the extreme stuff. Maybe for you, it's romance novels that stir up sexual longings outside of God's design. Maybe it's fan fiction or steamy scenes in shows or movies, or those harmless, quote unquote, scrolling sessions on social media that feed that subtle hunger for emotional or physical fantasy. Or yes, maybe even full on pornography itself, the extreme stuff. And just so we're all on the same page, we're talking about participating in, viewing, consuming pornography in any way, shape, or form. It's all sin. All of it. It's outside of God's design, and it's not good for you. As I just said, this is not gender specific. Although it has long been treated like a man's problem, the statistics don't lie. Increasing numbers of women, many of them Christian women, are struggling in silence because the church has often framed sexual sin as a male battlefield. And as a result, there's this silence that's become kind of a hiding place for women. Consider this. Recent surveys show 87% of women have viewed pornography at some point. And a third of women under age 25 have searched for pornography sometime in the last month. Here's the shocking one. Nearly half of practicing Christian women admitted to consuming porn on some level. So yes, a little shocking. Or maybe a relief to know that you're not some outlier. Whatever the case is, here's the truth. The silence in the church has only multiplied the sin and the struggle. We don't talk about it because it's embarrassing, because it's shameful, but I think we got to call it what it is. It's fear of man. It's fear of being labeled or misunderstood or judged. We think, no one else around me deals with this, surely. Or what are they going to think of me if I admit this? No good Christian woman deals with this. I'm going to be harshly judged. And some of us even start denying the issue or downplaying the seriousness of this sin. And maybe that's part of the reason that you hesitate to address it. The enemy's power is often in secrecy, in isolation, in convincing you that you're the only one. When sin struggles hide in darkness, they grow and they fester. But when they're brought into the light of God's word, true repentance, forgiveness, and change can and does actually happen. Proverbs 28:13 gives us two things, a solemn warning and an encouragement. It says, "He who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion." Why does God want us to confess, to bring our sins into the light? Because he knows that hiding sin only saps our joy and our freedom. Psalm 32:5 gives David's honest testimony. "I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin." Do you see how bringing sin into the light led to forgiveness and restoration of David's relationship with God? Sin is darkness. It separates us from God and from each other. But when we confess, we step out of the shadows and into the freedom of grace. What does the scripture 1 John 1:7 say? It says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we're cleansed from all our sin. So walking in the light restores our fellowship with God. Truth, all have sinned, Romans 3:23. But Jesus' blood covers the sins of men and women alike. He doesn't offer less grace to you than your brother in Christ. Same truth, other hand though, he doesn't have a less strict, fluffy, flowery, butterflies and daisies version of the seriousness of this sin for us women while the guys get the hammer. And I want to drill down on the lie that this is a guy issue for just one more second. I know I'm beating a drum over and over, but this is a big deal. We have to debunk that myth immediately before we go any further on this. Not with just the current cultural evaluation or current statistics. We got to see what God has to say first and foremost. James 1 tells us that each person is tempted when he's lured and enticed by his own desire. The world says lust is a man's problem. Jesus says it's a human problem. Each person, says James, not each man only. In Matthew 5, Jesus actually tells us this sin does not discriminate by gender. What? I've read Matthew 5 and done the Bible study, and believe me, pornography, women in pornography, that is definitely not in there. Okay, let's read Matthew 5, 27 through 28, just for kicks, okay? If you have your Bible, Matthew 5, 27 through 28. "You've heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Now, traditionally, this passage is taught at men's conferences or men's accountability groups, but check the word Jesus uses here. He says, each person or everyone in some translations who looks at a woman with lust. Jesus isn't only speaking to husbands, fathers, young men. He's speaking to all of us, everyone. That means us too, women included. You might be thinking, but I'm not lusting after women. Or maybe you're thinking, well, that's me in a nutshell. Either way, the heart of what Jesus is addressing here is lustful intent. That's the desire to take in with your eyes, to fantasize, to indulge your flesh in the private places of your mind. This isn't about physical adultery alone. This is about the kind of heart that treats people as objects for personal pleasure. When Jesus says that lustful intent equals adultery in the heart, he's not being harsh. He's showing us that the problem is not just behavior alone. It's our affections, our thoughts, our secret desires. And he's calling us not to just avoid outward sin, but to love purity from the inside out. So quit believing the lie that this is someone else's battle and bring your hidden struggles into the light, whether it's pornography, emotional fantasy, or anything that pulls your heart from the purity of Christ. You are not alone, but you are responsible before God. To add insult to injury here, there's another lie that's leached itself with powerful suction cups right on the side of the lie that this is a dude's only sin issue. And that is the idea that one of the greatest needs in our churches is for the creation of safe spaces for women who are dealing with the sin of pornography. That the solution is just a soft, pillowy place of no judgment and no confrontation, spaces where women can say, this is my story, with zero call to repentance or change. Now, I understand the heart behind this. Like we've said, the church hasn't talked openly about this. So there is a desperate need for honesty and compassion and people to open up and confess their sin. But I think it's fair to say, because the Bible says so, Jesus didn't create environments where sinners could feel comfortable staying the same. He confronted people in love and changed them forever. Think about the woman caught in adultery in John 8. Jesus said, no condemnation, but he didn't stop there. He said, go and sin no more. That's not judgmental. That's loving. So when we talk about safe spaces for women dealing with pornography, we have to ask, safe from what?
And we'll be back with more from Libby Glossett in just a moment. Man, I tell you, those statistics are pretty mind-numbing. Half of practicing Christian women admitted to consuming pornography. And I think what Libby is doing is shattering the church's biggest open secret that this is not just a men's issue anymore. Maybe it never was. There is a lot of silence around sexual sin for men and women, but specifically about pornography in women. And this conversation is extremely profitable to have because churches are pouring millions into accountability programs for men, and women are suffering because of it. They're convinced that maybe they're the only ones because no one is actually talking about it, and that leads to isolation, and shame festers here. And where sin grows, the enemy wins. And this is precisely why Fortis Plus matters. Fortis Plus is the central hub to get every single bit of content that Fortis Institute produces. All of our podcasts and all of our videos are all available at fortisplus.org or on our mobile app or app for your smart TV. And it's absolutely free of charge. Right now, it is full of hundreds of hours of audio and video content, and we're adding to it every single day. And we're addressing the real struggles that men and women are facing without the fear of church gossip, without the shame of having a public confession. And you can download it right now because, look, the first step toward community confession is private acknowledgement. So go to fortisplus.org right now to begin using Fortis Plus. Or again, as I said, you can download it from wherever you download apps on your smartphone or your smart TV. And the reason all of the content we create is absolutely free is because of men and women just like you. Gospel partners is what we call them. People who believe in what we're doing and the mission of Fortis Institute so much that they've decided to link arms with us and join in the fight alongside of us. Our gospel partners help us create content that addresses the sins that we don't talk about, the struggles that don't get the conference sessions so much, the battles that a lot of Christians are fighting in silence. So I want to urge you, if you are already giving to your local church, which is your number one giving priority, and you have the means where you could join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, we would be eternally grateful. Just go to fortisinstitute.org right now to see what it would look like in your life to join us as a gospel partner. And now let's get back to Libby Glossin. This is The Better Way. Welcome back to The Better Way. Now let's turn down the world's noise and get back to The Better Way with Libby Glossin.
Before we dive back in, just a quick reminder, if you're listening on Apple or Spotify or Amazon, would you just hit that follow button so that you don't miss any future episodes? And if you're on Apple, if you leave a review, that really helps more people find the show. Same thing on Spotify if you leave a quick star rating. Okay, so back to the task at hand. We are debunking the big fat lies of the world that have crept into our churches when it comes to women and pornography. Lie number one, women shouldn't or don't struggle with this. This is a man club. No girls allowed. Lie number two, the answer is to create safe spaces in our churches and Bible studies and women's groups that allow women to tell their story without making them feel worse than they already do. Don't heap on more shame and guilt, they say. That'll fix it. Well, truth number one in response to lie number one, it is just simply not true that guys are the only ones who battle the sin of pornography. Women struggle with it too. To boot, this sin, this struggle, it doesn't get its own special category, like it's worse or more egregious than any other. Truth number two to debunk lie number two. Let's just cut this one right off at the source. The Bible does not say that the solution to guilt, the solution to shame, is safe spaces or environments that protect us from feeling worse about ourselves. The Bible says the solution is repentance, godly sorrow for your sin, confessing, agreeing with God that this road you've been on is one that leads in the opposite direction away from Him. And then turning and changing direction and walking, running, sprinting in the new direction, the direction that leads to a life of pursuing holiness, of putting to death your sin, of being remade into the image of Christ by the transformative power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. So if this is you, if the battle against pornography is raging in your life, if you've written yourself off as someone outside God's mercy, hear me. You are not too far gone. Sin is real, yes, but so is forgiveness. And there's another thing. So many women who are trapped in pornography have a history of sexual abuse. And if that's part of your story, I want to pause here and say, I am so sorry for what was done to you. It was not your fault. You did not deserve it. And God, He sees, He grieves, and He wants to make you whole. But here's something we don't often talk about. When sexual abuse goes unprocessed, when it stays hidden, it can turn inward very quickly. And we begin to use things like pornography to cope, to numb the pain, to escape. It becomes a false refuge. It's a counterfeit comfort, a counterfeit savior. Pornography tells you that you're in control. It gives the illusion of power, of safety, and even sometimes love. But in reality, it only deepens the pain and strengthens those chains that are binding you up. So even if this started for you as a response to someone else's sin against you, two wrongs don't make a right. Continuing in sin is never going to bring the relief and the solace that it promises. Only Jesus can do that. Sin lies. Sin never keeps its word. It never delivers what you think it will. But Jesus, He does. He delivers more abundantly, more completely, more permanently than any temporary distraction. Listen, I know repentance can be a scary word, but biblically, repentance isn't about self-loathing or hating ourselves. It's actually about lasting change. Romans 2:4 tells us that it's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. Isn't that awesome? Not fear, not punishment, but kindness. So if the Spirit is stirring in you right now, if you feel that conviction, don't push it away. Don't try to explain it away or dull it. That's God's kindness. He's calling you to the better way. Now, I want to give you four truths from God's Word, four scriptures to address both the sin in your life and give you the hope that only God can give, that there is hope. So I would just ask you, write these down. Write these scriptures down, meditate on them, let them speak to the deepest places of your heart. Look them up for yourself, memorize them. The first one, Isaiah 59:1. Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor His ear too dull to hear. You are not beyond God's reach. That's actually impossible. Your struggle doesn't scare Him. He is mighty to save, even from this. I would say, especially from this. Okay, so we all know God doesn't have arms, right? And this is a great example of something scripture does often, known as anthropomorphism. And that big old word that I'm not going to try to say again because I will definitely mess it up, simply means that God reveals Himself using human terms so that we can understand Him. It's when the Bible describes God's hands or His eyes or even His heart. Not because God literally has a body, but because he's speaking in our language so we can grasp his truth. Isaiah's audience felt like God had turned away from them. They were experiencing judgment and separation because of their sin. And in their despair, they were wondering, God, have you lost your power? Or worse, have you lost your concern for us? Anybody out there resonate with that today? Feeling like God maybe has abandoned you? But Isaiah steps in and says, no, the Lord's hand is not short. His power hasn't weakened. His arm hasn't lost its reach. His ear isn't too dull to hear your cries. The God who spoke the galaxies into being is the same God who bends low to hear the faintest prayer of his people. His arms span eternity. Big arms. Stop listening to the lie that this sin, this battle with pornography is too much, too far, beyond the reach of God. Scripture numero uno to remind yourself of the truth, Isaiah 59:1. Second scripture in your fancy new scripture tool belt is 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. If you're a believer, a true follower of Christ, you are not what you've done, and you are not what's been done to you. In Christ, you are new. You are pure. You are His. If you're not a Christian, guess what? Good news. This new creation business, it's waiting for you. How do you get your hands on it? Well, I'm so glad you asked, because saving faith begins with God's sovereign grace. He initiates salvation by regenerating the sinner's heart through the Holy Spirit. So if you're feeling that tug in your gut right now, that isn't you. That's the Holy Spirit. And guess what? This means that your very next steps are repenting of sin and believing in Christ alone for salvation. True faith rests on that fully finished work of Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection. And that's the only way we can be reconciled with God. Saving faith is a gift from God. And that's where the new creationness comes in. Because if you're in Christ, now the old is out of here and the new has come. You're not the same. You can say no to temptation and sin. Sin always leads to death, death of intimacy, of joy, of freedom. But Jesus brings life, full, abundant, resurrected life. And in the end, God is going to bring widespread, complete restoration to you and me, yes, but also to all that has been impacted by sin. So all that you've done that's left you in a heap, be encouraged. With Christ, restoration is your reality. Scripture number three, Psalm 147:3. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. That person who sinned against you, that pain, the catalyst for this sin struggle, he doesn't overlook it. God knows what has transpired in your life. You are not responsible for sin that's committed against you. But, oh, I know this goes against the grain, so please hear me. You are responsible for how you respond to the sin committed against you. And as God heals your broken heart and binds up your wounds, you start responding God's way. Sin is no longer the answer. Pornography, no longer the escape. He is. Okay, last one. Galatians 5:16. Walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Check that statement Paul makes. If we walk by the Spirit, capital S, we will not gratify the desires of the flesh. That's just amazing, isn't it? The Spirit of God lives in you and He's stronger than any temptation. But you got to walk. You got to make the conscious decision to follow the Spirit's lead, to resist temptation, to trust God is working in and through you. And you don't need the pornography for one more second. So what now? How do you start walking this out? Well, first, just confess your sin. First, confess to God. And then find someone you trust who's going to love you and help keep you accountable. No more secrecy. Cut off your access to pornography. Heath Lambert calls this radical amputation. Install blockers on your computer. Throw away the phone, the laptop, the tablet. Throw them out. If you really need a phone, get a dumb phone. Use paper and pen. Do whatever it takes. and cling to Christ, cling to him daily. Preach the gospel to yourself every morning, every night. Repentance isn't a one-time event. It's a daily returning to the truth of the gospel, a realigning of your heart to the one who loves you the most. And if you fall, don't stay down. Get back up. Run to Jesus again. He's not ashamed of you. He delights in your return. And now that we've dragged the taboo into the light, please join me for more on women and pornography next week for your good and God's glory.
This has been The Better Way with Libby Glosson, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed The Better Way with Libby Glosson, would you consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? And also, would you consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until tomorrow, go serve your King.